weren't listening. Very good. Well, as I said, it's been a great morning already, and it's our great pleasure today to have a good friend of mine, Steve Scrimm, who has, I think we met probably in our early 20s, late teens back then. It seems a distant memory. But Steve is someone who's just passionate about the Lord, passionate about Jesus, passionate about our church in the city, and passionate about seeing the church in the city released to impact people in poverty and to lift them out of poverty in the name of Jesus. And so he does that at the moment through Compassion, has been doing that for many years. It's our great pleasure. If you've been here a while, you've had to hear Steve here before, but why don't we put our hands together and for Steve as he comes and shares with us today and talks a little bit about the faith.
Yes, thanks, Pete. Mate, that Northreach service, that was great atmosphere there, loved it. Just a special little announcement, this is the first time I'm trying to preach with this type of water bottle. So I'm pretty excited about that, don't have to take the cap off. Pete, do you ever use these when you preach? Okay, look at the straw, it's already open, I love that. That story of Anjo is so precious. He is now the minister of that church where he was sponsored. He preaches there, he worship leads there, he leads the discipleship there. I know tonight there's another story of someone in this church who sponsored a child in Bali, and now the father of that child is coming to share their story tonight. But that child is now also doing ministry. So many of the Compassion children end up being school teachers, politicians, ministers, lawyers, because we want them to be the agents of change that transform their community. We're not just after a child being released from poverty. We're after them coming into all God has made them to be, that they would be the agents of change in that area, just like we saw in that story and about the story tonight. So my name is Steve. Thank you so much, Encounter. You are sponsoring with Compassion over 40 children. This is incredible gospel work that you are doing together. Most of these children are in Bali and on the island of Sumba, which is very close to Bali in Indonesia. Indonesia is a place of great poverty. Islam is very strong there. It needs the gospel. Trafficking is very strong there. And it really is a place where Jesus is moving and using his church to bring the gospel and bring transformation. It's an incredible place. What God's doing there is incredible. And we as Australia, as particularly Perth, I believe strategically we are positioned to work with the church there to see Indonesia, the biggest Muslim country in the world, largest in terms of population, know Jesus. So this trip is happening. It's February the 12th. If you want to come along, we'd love to have you. Churches across Joondalup, Wanneroo are sponsoring children in Sumba. It's like a together work that the churches here are doing. We believe that Sumba, 20, 30, 50 years from now, will be completely different because the church in this area said, as one church, we're going to come alongside the churches in Sumba to serve one child and serve more and more and more. We want to see hundreds of Christian leaders raised up in that island that it would never be the same again. This is what the church can do together. Together in Christ, we are unstoppable. We can transform islands. So this is the plan, the strategy for Sumba. So come along on the trip. You'll meet the child you sponsor, or you could sponsor a child today from Sumba and meet that child. Visit the churches running the program. It's life-changing for you. It's life-changing for that child. And you can really see the gospel at work in poverty. Jesus is more powerful than poverty. He walks through any poverty where you go with him and he brings freedom. This is what he's doing in Sumba. This is what he does in our schools in Perth. When we go with him, he brings freedom. This is Cleesa. I visited Cleesa. It was so wonderful to visit a child that we sponsor. I went to his home, and his home is a one room. It's one room, and it's about this high off the ground, because where he is, the floods come through. Because it's a slum, all the sewage comes up. So you can imagine this is their home. So they have to be on stilts. And the mum told me how Cleesa and her little brother and his little brother had fallen through that hole that you could see there to the ground, and had been really painful for them. That's their one room home. So my wife and I, we gave Cleesa some money to fix the roof, because the rain would just come through the slum, through the roof of his house when it rained. So we gave some money for it. And what was so beautiful is Cleza had been praying for a bike. And when I sent the money to the local church, said, can you buy Cleza a new roof? They took some of the money and they bought him a bike. And he said, they bought me a red bike and I've been praying for a bike. So it's just these little things. You can see in his t-shirt, it says, no Jesus, no life in red. When a child in poverty doesn't know Jesus, there's no life. Poverty is the kingdom of darkness surrounding a child. They need Jesus, and our role as the church of Jesus Christ is to come in that place with Jesus so that they can know Jesus and therefore know life. Get to know the one who is resurrection life. The $55 a month my family give for Cleza, it covers his health care. When he first came to the program, he had big mumps all over his neck because he was so malnourished. But after 6 months, that was resolved because our children can go to the doctor whenever they want. It covers his dentistry, education, tutoring, nutritious food, but most importantly, every single child in the Compassion Program has one-to-one discipleship through the Compassion Program in that local church. He's getting discipled. So compassion is number one, we're Christ-centered. It's Jesus who breaks poverty, like I've shared. Number two, we're child-focused. We work with a child from when they're young all the way to when they finish their studies. And from 12 to 20, we also do leadership training with them. We have this motto where Cleza is, every child a disciple and every disciple a discipler. So we're training our children how to disciple younger children in the Compassion Program, in that leadership change, how they can be agents of change in their community. So we're not just trying to release them from poverty, that side of the cross. There's also the resurrection of the cross, where in Christ we come into who he made us to be. And so we want to bring them into that as well, because it's who we are in Christ where we can really bring the change. It's Christ in us. So we work with them and disciple them into who they were uniquely made to be, that they can be the change. I'll share one more story before I get into my message. This is Michelle, and Michelle shared her story with me. She said this to me. She said, when I was younger, that picture was taken in Frio. She came in Perth and spoke at a couple of churches for us. She said, when I was younger, my parents said this to me. This was the thinking in the slum, right? It's not like what we think. It's so different. It's hopelessness. The enemy is in there having his way. We need Jesus in these places. She said this to me. My parents said to me, Michelle, you're ugly. So you're going to be a drug addict, a thief, or you're going to be a street worker. That's what they said to her. But she was sponsored. And because God is so good, her sponsor wrote to her and said, Michelle, you're beautiful. I love you. Jesus loves you. Michelle said these words went right into my heart. That local church loved her and discipled her. She was one of the first to go through. Compassion is 70 years old, but when we started that leadership training from 12 to 20, she was one of the first to go through that. I said, Michelle, tell me what you do now. I love hearing the stories of the children in our program who went also through the leadership training. That's exciting what God does with young people when they're brought into their fullness in Christ. It's exciting what happens to any of us when we surrender to who God uniquely made us to be in Him. She said this. She said, since 2008, I've been working to get girls out of working on the streets. If you know what I mean by working on the streets. I said, how many of you helped, Michelle? She said, 115. I said, Michelle, your parents said you would be a street worker. Now you are releasing girls from that. That's incredible. And she put her head down like this, ashamed, in Fremantle. She said to me, Steve, there's another 100,000 girls in my city alone who are stuck in street working. It's their economy. It's how they earn. This is wrong. This is why Jesus is calling his church into our fullness in him, to come into the oneness of being one church in Joondalup and Wanneroo, so we can do the Great Commission together, so we can see our schools transformed, our universities transformed, to see islands like Sumba, where poverty has come in, to see Jesus walk through his church and bring transformation and bring transformation and bring transformation. I want to be part of that. Jesus, we're all in for that. We're all in for King Jesus, the King of glory, the Lord of hosts, the one who made the world, where everything is from him and through him and to him. Him walking through a slum and bringing transformation through our love. Transformation, raising up disciples. I said, Michelle, tell me about your radio station. I just saw her 2 weeks ago. I was at the Lausanne Congress 50 years ago. Billy Graham and John Stott was one of the scholars of the last century, started a congress, and they brought 5,000 evangelists together to talk about the Great Commission and how we can complete it together as one family in Christ. And then they had another one 15 years later, another one 15 years later, and 2 weeks ago they had another one. And I was at this congress, and the discussion was this theme for the whole congress: collaboration to finish the Great Commission. All these different organizations represented, leaders, marketplace leaders, they purposely brought 40% of the leaders at the gathering for the Congress, it was invite only, were business leaders, because we cannot finish the Great Commission through Peter Roberts. We can't do it. We need all of us. It's us together, working as one in Christ, fulfilling our local mission, wherever God's called us to be, here in Joondalup, and wherever God's called us to be overseas, working these two missions together as one in Christ. And Michelle was there, and so I connected with Michelle. I said, Michelle, tell me what's happening with these things that you've been doing. She said, now there's 150 girls who have gone through my discipleship course, street workers. And she said this, I love this. She said, next year I'm finishing up leading it. Some of the girls who have been through it are now going to take over and run it. That's deep discipleship. I said, how's your radio station, your radio program going? Saturday mornings, she brings in the local pastor's kids. And they tell Bible stories on the radio. This is so beautiful. 1 million children hear the gospel every Saturday through this radio program because someone said, Michelle, I see you. You're beautiful. Jesus loves you, and I love you, and I'm going to sponsor you, and you're going to come all you are in Christ if you will receive him and walk with him. We don't know what choice they're going to make, but we want to give these children every opportunity to be who they are in Christ. So, I've just come back from Lausanne. I'm pretty stirred up from my gathering time there. Had some incredible times. One of the people at my table had just come. I can't tell you the country where he's from, but we spent the whole week together collaborating and discussing. And he said this. He said, 5 times I've been beaten up. He said, I almost died one time. He said, just before coming to Lausanne, there's 2 assassins after me. And since he's been back, he's been messaging our table. These assassins are still after me. They're following me. There's so much. The enemy is at work. We must rise up into our fullness in Christ and walk with him. For him, the Great Commission looks like laying down his life. For me, the Great Commission, honestly, looks like putting my phone down and TikTok and Facebook and putting down socials and saying, Jesus, I'm going to do what you've called me to do. Both are hard, but Jesus deserves all we are. What is it you need to lay down so you can take up your full role in the Great Commission? So, the Oxford Dictionary defines commission as this: a group of people entrusted by a government or other official body with authority to do something. I'm going to read us through the 4 great commissions that Jesus gave at the end of each gospel. And as I read these to you, I want you to let them sink right into you. Jesus gave these to us, his church. And they're all a little bit different. Together, they bring the fullness of this Great Commission. As I read them, let us think about these 2 things. What is the local mission God has called me to do in this area? What is the global commission God has called me to do? I want to be faithful to both of these. Let's pray. Father, these children, these 43 children that Encounter sponsor, thank you for these children. We ask you, Father, that the way this church serves these children, writes letters, prays for them, gives diligently, Father, that you would be pleased. Father, we pray these children would be free from poverty. They'd come into all you have called them to in Christ. Jesus, you are their freedom. We acknowledge this. It's you. Amen. Amen. So before I get into the first one, I'm just going to take a sip of my wonderful drink bottle, which I'm pretty excited about. Don't have to unscrew anything. Normally I have water all over me. I was at a church recently. It was an Anglican church, very traditional. And I was just about to get up and speak, and I took a drink of my old water bottle, and it wasn't screwed on properly. And all the water fell on my lap. It was all over me. The pastor's wife was sitting next to me. She looked at me, saw the water, and laughed at me. There was no compassion. And so I walked up the front, and I had my file over me like this. Luckily, it was like March, and we had that really hot, you know, like summer just kept going. And so by the time I finished my presentation, it was all dry and I just went back and sat down. But now, no more. I've got this new water bottle. Pete, get into it, man. You know what? How nice would it be if someone said, Pete, I'm going to bless you with a straw water bottle. Give him 10. You can use one every time you preach. Now I'm going to use my orange one. Now I'm going to use my blue one. Yeah, maybe not. Matthew 28:18. I love this. What we're about to read. Let this burn in your bones like fire. The way the apostles received it. And then Acts 2 happened. And Acts 3 happened. And the book of Acts happened. Let this go into you. The 2024, the last few months, 2025, you would know the fullness of the mission. I pray that one day when I stand before my Father, he would say this to me, Steve, your local mission, faithful. Steve, your global mission, faithful. Steve, your local church mission, faithful. I think we all have our work to do in this local church. What is that? We have a work to do in our own families that we want to be faithful for, in our communities and globally. Matthew 28, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Every assignment God's given you, he's with you. Mark 16:15. And he, Jesus, said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole of creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. I've shortened that one to keep it sharp. Luke 24:46. And he, Jesus, said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. I love that. It's got the local assignment, Jerusalem, the global assignment, all nations. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Okay, John, this is the last one, guys. John 20. If you've missed one of the other ones, don't miss this one. John 20, verse 21. Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so, I am sending you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." This is my first point. They all have a sending, a go, a mobilizing. God is mobilizing us into our families, into our communities, into Joondalup, into Wanneroo, into Perth. He's mobilizing us into Sumba and Bali in Indonesia. He's mobilizing us into Russia. Let's lean in. God, where are you mobilizing me? I want to be faithful. Every assignment you give me, I want to be faithful. My son is 12. I'm talking to him. Pete, what's the assignment God's given you for 2024? Don't miss it. Don't miss your assignment. I want my son to understand what God's called him to do this year. What's God called him to do next year, and train him to be diligent in those assignments. I love it how these passages with the goes, it's a mobilizing. It's this movement in these. It's we have to go. We have to move. I believe this is a season when God is mobilizing his church together. He's saying, go out, be with them. I love the local church, but there's expressions of the mobilized church happening. My wife and I just put on a prayer gathering last week, and we invited some students who lead prayer in their schools to come together for 12 hours to seek the face of God, Psalm 24, for their schools and universities. I was really hoping we could get 10 students to come and pray for 12 hours. And like, I just thought, only God can get a student to pray for 12 hours for their school. But that 12 hours, there was 100 there across the day, and the 12 hours felt like 2 hours. Why? Because when we know what our assignment is, he's with us. The Father's with us. The Son's with us. The Holy Spirit's with us. He's with us for our assignments. It's not my assignment. It's me and my Father's assignment together. It's a co-laboring. It's me and him. I'm my Father's son. He gives me assignments because I was made in Christ as his son to do good works. I was prepared for these. And so he goes with me, and we could see the grace in this time for these students. My second point is this. Matthew, Luke, and John all include the three of these four gospels include the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in their commissioning. If we want to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we must be fully baptized in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. What does baptism mean? It's your old self crucified with Christ, and it's you coming up in the resurrection. Imagine this. The disciples have just left Jesus before the cross. He goes to the cross. They had failed him at the cross, and then after the cross, he is resurrected in the fullness of his glory. Death could not hold him down. He is crushing poverty. He's crushing sin. It is broken at the cross. He's saying to us, when you go on your mission, go with the resurrected Christ. Go with your Father. Go with Jesus. Go with the Holy Spirit. If your mission seems too hard, it's because it's become your assignment. You with him. There's an ease. Why are we seeing prayer in schools become fruitful? Why is Sumba being transformed? It's Jesus and us. It's the Father in us. It's the Holy Spirit in us. Rest your assignments into your relationship with him. Do them in Christ. Go and go in Christ. We must give the full surrender of our old selves, our old lives, our old habits, our old sins, to be crucified with Christ so we can go in the full surrender of who we are as God's children. Our old selves weren't made to fulfill the Great Commission. If you're like, should I sponsor a child in my old self? You'd just be like stingy. Oh, I don't know, should I go and share the gospel with my friends at work? Oh, I don't know, I'm getting embarrassed. Your old self can't do it. You'll never be able to do it. And if you do, it'll probably be pretty ugly, and they'll get annoyed with you. Oh, why are you telling me about this? When you just walk with God, and it's Christ in you, there's an ease, there's a boldness, There's a humility. There's a meekness. He puts his fruit in you, and it's beautiful. It's attractive. It's glorious. And sometimes it's very convicting to those who you're speaking to. We go in Christ. This is what I'm stirred for right now in my own life. We must be in the fullness of who we are in Christ so we can do the fullness of the great commission that God's called us to do. Half-hearted Christianity does not equal full assignments before God. And my eternity is forever when I stand before the Father. I want to be faithful. So if right now that looks like my old self being crucified, let my old self be crucified. If right now it means telling my wife about something I've been thinking about or doing because my old self needs to be crucified, may I tell her? Because eternity and my faithfulness before God and his faithfulness through me is at stake. Okay, my third point. Go in Christ and go together. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all finish their great commissions. Bang, that's the end of the book. That's the end of the gospel. But John has two more stories. It's so interesting that John would keep going. And the first story he has is that of Thomas. So he tells the story of Thomas, and Thomas is like, he misses the great commission, and he says, I will never believe. I will never believe. Jesus then, the resurrected Jesus, appears before Thomas right in the middle of his doubt. And in the middle of his doubt, he encounters the resurrected Jesus. And what happens is Thomas, in that encounter, believes. His weakness of I will never believe encounters the resurrected Jesus, and then he believes. And what happens? Thomas goes to India, brings the gospel to India. And the fruitfulness, I was in India in January, and they were telling me about Thomas. The fruitfulness of where he was is still there today. What happened? He took his weakness of doubt, encountered the resurrection, resurrected Jesus. He's transformed and he fulfills his mission. What's your weakness? Like, I've asked you what your assignments are. Now I'm asking you, what's your weakness? How do you get rid of it? Encounter the resurrected Jesus, like Thomas did. The same thing happens with Peter, right? Peter is the other story at the end of John. Peter takes his friends out fishing. He's denied Jesus three times. Jesus calls him. Throw your net on that side. He jumps off the boat. He runs to Jesus. He's denied Jesus three times. But listen to this. Jesus says this at the end of John. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you're old, you'll stretch out your hands. Another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. This he said to show what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, follow me. Peter encounters the resurrected Jesus after denying him three times. What happens? Jesus says, you will not deny me. You will die for me, Peter. His weakness became glory to Jesus because he encountered the resurrected Jesus. What is your old self that needs to be crucified? I'm all about this right now. Authentic discipleship. Like being known. What are you struggling with? Don't go alone. Like find someone you can trust and work through what's happening. So your old self can be crucified. And in that, like I remember my dad walked into my bedroom one day and he's like, Steve, there's some stuff on the computer that no one should be looking at. Is it yours? I said, Dad, nope. He asked me a second time, is it yours? I said, no. He asked me a third time. I swallowed. I said, Dad, it's mine. And Dad discipled me authentically. Every time I looked at something on the computer, I told my dad. By the time I met my wife, that was completely out of my life. Haven't looked at anything for 20 years. Why? Authentic discipleship. Not discipleship from here. It was a discipleship in here. Jesus went to Thomas, and he went to Peter. Both of them were in community. Thomas was with the disciples. Peter was with the other guys fishing. in that community with authentic discipleship, knowing who we are in Christ, our old self crucified, our new self in Christ. I know this church is all about community, authentic discipleship. So both Peter and Thomas went from two guys, one with the great doubting, the other guy with the great denying. What happens next? Thomas goes to India and Peter goes preaches boldly, full of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, and 3,000 are saved. Let me finish with this. Question number one, slide 28. Will you come deeper into your fullness in Christ for the Great Commission? Bring all your weaknesses for His strengths. Let nothing be hidden. Let nothing hold you back. Every area of your life, deep in the Father, deep in the Son, and deep in the Holy Spirit. That's my first question. And what is that next step? And my second question is this. What can you do practically for these assignments? Can you invite someone to Alpha? Like just right now, let's pause. Is there someone that you could invite to Alpha? You in prayer with God, energized because you're doing it with Him, simply invite them to Alpha. Wow, so simple. Something else you could do is start praying for where you work or study. Find someone who you work or study with and say, hey, let's pray together. And finally, something I'm pretty passionate about, we've got some children here from Sumba. A practical way you can make a difference in Sumba is by sponsoring a child or another child. It completely changes the world. It changes their future. But listen to me, it changes their family. Because it connects their family to a local church. The mentor of that child will visit the family every month. Not only that, it changes their children and their children's children. It's changing. The whole cycle of poverty, which goes from generation to generation, is changed to the gospel going from generation to generation. You can sponsor a child. You can also sponsor a few children. You can also sponsor a project. We have projects. If you want to sponsor a project, that helps many children come out, have a chat to me. All these are their options with Compassion. It's $55 a month. And it's just a wonderful way, tax deductible. I met Joe this morning and she's just telling me how her and her son picked out the same child last year when I was here. And then she was at North Reach and her son, and when she walked in, she's like, we're going to sponsor another child. And then her son once again said, Mom, I've got another child for us to sponsor. We're going to do it. And just that togetherness is so beautiful. Why? They're going in Christ, and they're going in Christ together as a father, as a mother, and a son. I love that. Let's pray. Jesus, here we are. We want to go in Christ. We want to go in Christ together. What is the assignments you've given us? We give our weaknesses to you. We know that you'll exchange them for your strength in us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.